If you would, please take out your Bibles and open to Romans chapter 8. But before we begin, I'd like to start off by commending Randy for his fine sermon. And I'd also like to thank the elders for the opportunity that they've given me to address such a fine audience this evening. In Romans chapter 8, let's start off by looking at verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to conform to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The thought in this verse I'd like you to focus in on is to be conformed to the image of his Son. The title and focus of the lesson tonight will be to conform to the image of Jesus. Webster defines conform as to make the same or similar, to be or act in a required way, to be in agreement with. The Amplified translation, it renders this verse to be molded in the image of his Son. Ever notice how children take on the characteristics and the traits of those that they admire? As children of God, we're to take on the characteristics of the man we admire the most, and that should be our Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we examine the characteristics of Jesus more closely, I'd like to point out some things about how we can learn and how we can grow to be more like Jesus. You know, the best way to learn is by example. I think we'd all rather see a sermon rather than to hear one. In John chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." When Jesus said, "For I have given you an example," he was really saying, "I've shown you how." And when Jesus said that you should do as I have done to you, he was saying, "Imitate my actions." You know, we can learn by example, and we grow by imitation. In 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verse 1, Paul writes, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." And the Amplified version renders it this way: "Pattern after me, follow my example, as I imitate and follow Christ, the Messiah." The word I want to draw your attention to here is the word imitate. Paul said, "Follow my example, as I imitate and follow Christ." The verse in John 13:15 and also in 1 Corinthians 11:1 demonstrates two points. You know, we can learn by the example of others, and also we can grow by imitating others. With these two points in mind, let's take a closer look at the character of Jesus. I'd like you to look at four different aspects of Jesus' character with me this evening: his integrity, his courage, his compassion, and his humility. Due to time limitations of this lesson, I'll just mention briefly one or two points about Jesus' life to illustrate each aspect. I'd strongly urge everyone here this evening to study Jesus' character in more detail on your own, and I promise you that it will be of great benefit to your spiritual growth. This preparing to study has really been a good encouragement to me. First, let's consider Jesus' integrity. Webster defines integrity as the quality of being honest and trustworthy, honesty or uprightness. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the fourth chapter, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We see from this account that Jesus, who had been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, you know, he was undoubtedly tired and he was hungry. And from every indication of the scriptures, he spent this whole time period alone. There was no one there to console him or encourage him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, we learn that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Jesus, while he was being tempted of the devil, he never failed to see the situation from God's point of view. Notice how he always answered, It is written. Jesus made all his decisions with God's commandments in mind. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 15, we read, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus maintained his integrity even unto death. God entrusted Jesus with the gospel message of salvation, and Jesus did nothing that would damage the credibility of his message. Next, let's consider Jesus' courage. You know, courage can be defined as being able to control one's fear and to face danger, pain, or trouble willingly. It's also defined as bravery. You know, courage lies somewhere midway between cowardice and recklessness. Jesus demonstrated courage throughout his whole life. We'll consider a couple of places that it's recorded for us at this time. Jesus demonstrated courage in what he was and what he stood for. In John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, we can read of the account of the time when Jesus single-handedly went in and single-handedly drove the money changers out of the temple. In Mark the 10th chapter, we see Jesus' courage demonstrated again as he starts towards Jerusalem for the last time, knowing completely what agony, torture, and heartbreak awaited him there. Jesus was a man. You know, he experienced the fear the same way that we do. His fear of death by crucifixion was just as intense as any other man's. In Hebrews 5, verse 7, we read, Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. You know, Jesus didn't want to be crucified, but he had the courage to confess his identity to the Sanhedrin, knowing that by doing this, it would cost him his life. Now let's consider Jesus' compassion. Webster defines compassion as a feeling of being sorry for others and wanting to help them. Deep sympathy, pity. Compassion is the word used in the Gospels. In the epistles, it's called love. It's the nature of love to give, and Christ did so wholeheartedly. He healed the sick, he healed the lame, he healed the blind, and he fed the hungry. In Matthew 9, verse 6, we read, When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We see Jesus' compassion demonstrated on a personal level with the death of Lazarus. If you would, open your Bibles to John, the 11th chapter, and we'll look at verses 32 through 36. Time doesn't really permit me to go through the whole story, but we'll just focus in on the important points that illustrate what I'm trying to show. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. Jesus' love for others was completely sincere. There was no mixture of motives in his heart. He loved to the uttermost. Paul describes Jesus' love in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the 19th verse. He writes, And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, Jesus proved his love through his death. In John 15:13, which Randy just mentioned, we read, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Finally, let's consider Jesus' humility. Webster defines humility as the condition of being humble or not proud, meekness. Jesus brought about a major change in ethics by dignifying humility in a world which despised it as weakness. In John, the first chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3, we see that Jesus was the Word. He was present with God in the beginning, and all things were made by Him. The universe was His creation, yet we never see Him lifted up with pride. Jesus took every reason for being exalted and turned it into a reason to serve others. In Isaiah 50, verse 6, we read, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting." 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 reads, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul says, "I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Jesus truly was a man of immeasurable humility. As we review Jesus' character, we see the standard that we're to conform to. We can compare our characters to the character of Jesus, and we can see where we need to improve our own character. We need to work hard at developing our characters, and we need to work daily at imitating Jesus in everything that we think, do, and say. And just as Jesus had tremendous influence for good, we will likewise. It's been said that the moon has no light of its own. It can only reflect what light it receives from the sun. While we live on this old earth, we need to be a reflection of Christ's light and shine in the dark places, because He's counting on us. You know, the greatest compliment we can pay to a man is to imitate him. And as Christians, we work at imitating Jesus. And we should all keep working at encouraging one another and building one another up, so that we can all conform to the image and likeness of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The lesson this evening was not really designed to teach what is necessary to become a Christian, so we'll quickly review that before we offer the invitation song. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, we read that, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So obviously, we have to hear the truth if we're going to obey it. In Romans 1:16, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So we must believe the gospel. And then in Luke 13, verse 5, Jesus said, "But except you repent, ye shall likewise perish." Also, the example of the Ethiopian eunuch points out something else that we must do. In Acts 8:37, we read, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So we must confess our faith in Jesus. Mark 16:16 also tells us another necessary step. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So we must be baptized to be saved. If you're a Christian who's walked away from your first love and gone back into the world, won't you make a new start this evening? Whatever your need may be, won't you come as we stand and sing?